This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome, welcome all to this, the show that many have called a bad idea in and of itself.
Pish posh. This is a great idea.
It is one of our best ideas. A show where we find the worst thoughts and concepts and just vague ideas that humanity has had and try to turn them into not any less of a vague concept.
No.
But at least a concept for a good movie or a good book or just a good story. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing today?
Quite well.
I'm doing great because I have just a doozy of an idea for you both.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say one of the great joys of having done this show so long now is now I get friends texting me ideas that they think would be very bad. So thank you, Lee Conrads. This is for you. And it's the idea itself is sort of bad in a standard way. Really, why I'm bringing it is because I'm bringing to you a character.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps
interesting
for a franchise.
Oh boy.
Dear listeners, if you would like to read along with this article, it is linked in the episode description. It's from a local Tulsa, Oklahoma news channel 8. And I'm just going to read the article itself, and you can read along with me if that's the thing you would like to do. So, the Tulsa County's Sheriff's Office arrested a man Tuesday night after they said he landed a plane at the R.L. Jones Airport in Jenks with 102.7 pounds of methamphetamine on board.
Oh, nice. My.
Nice.
Homeland Security investigation agents in Tulsa were alerted by Customs and Border Protection about the plane headed to the area from another state. CPB asked agents to do a pilot certification on the pilot. And this is the best part.
To certify that he was still a man and not like made out of methamphetamines now?
Later identified this man as Badlands McNally at the airport.
What?
Like that's his name? Oh my.
That's his name.
Wait. But like bad, is that like a like, you know, nickname?
Badlands, one word.
Oh God, Jesus Christ. I heard bad spacebar Lance McNally, and I was like, well, hang on a second.
No.
Okie dokie. Wow, no, that's the name of a franchise character if I ever heard one.
No, he's just bad to his friends.
Wow. Oof.
Just before 9 p.m., agents saw the plane land and move outside a hangar. A deputy went up to McNally as he was opening his hangar and asked to see his credentials. When the deputy asked him where he flew in from, he didn't respond. When he asked a second time, he told the deputy he'd flown in from Watonga. Debbie asks if he had any drugs, guns, or bombs on the aircraft, and he became nervous and defensive, according to the arrest report. McNally said, quote, he was worried that he might get his head chopped off, end quote.
Oh, my
no.
God.
No. Wait, context.
This guy looks funny.
The deputy then called Tulsa police and requested a canine unit. The canine officer conducted an open search and directed deputies to the plane. When they opened the door of McNally's plane, there was an overwhelming smell of chemicals from inside. According to the report, agents found two large black duffel bags carrying 102.7 pounds of meth, as well as two pistols and a rifle with multiple magazines behind the pilot seat. McNally was immediately taken into custody.
Yeah, no shit.
So, like, this is a very bad idea. Don't cross state lines with any drugs. Don't have that much methamphetamine.
Yeah, don't ship your body weight in meth.
Really, I'm bringing you the possibility of Badlands McNally.
Sure.
Oh my God, I can see the first movie poster now. Yeah. Call me bad.
Yeah. Oh man, 10 minutes on the clock. Tell me a story.
So I think that my favorite part of this is that, you know, like law enforcement goes up to him, asks him a question. The first time he doesn't respond.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, brother, same. Like, I've been in that position where, you know, somebody asks you a question and you're kind of like, I will be with you in a moment. I just need to think about how I want to lie out of this.
Just give me a second.
It does lead me to a realization of, you know, like so many franchises are getting this, like, you know, gritty reboot in the 2000s. You know, so many things were revisiting them and being like, let's do that again. But this time, let's make it dark and gritty. And I think that I have found in this a franchise that is in desperate need of its gritty reboot. And it is Liar Liar.
Okay.
The Jim Carrey movie that was originally about a lawyer who finds himself unable to lie when his son makes a wish. But now clearly needs to be about a drug runner and smuggler who suddenly finds himself unable to lie as he is transporting this, like, you know, lifetime achievement worth of drugs across state lines.
I'm here for it.
I like it. I think it would need to be a road trip rather than a plane, because there's really only two points of danger in an air.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully when you're in the air, you're fine. So car road trip.
It would need to be like he's taking the drugs from like Houston to Anchorage. Like, you know, like it has to be like a long trip involving multiple planes, possibly trains, and some automobiles.
Mm-hmm. This is another franchise we can reboot. I'm just saying.
this is the franchise. Lying planes, trains, and I know. We'll workshop the title. But yes, we can
workshop the title.
Them. We can cross them over.
But it's like we finally found the solution to it's like planes, trains, and automobiles, but with Liar Liar, we just combine them. That's it.
But is John Candy's like equivalent the meth dealer or a chipper?
We can throw the transporter in it and have it played by Jason Statham. Jason Statham, who cannot lie anymore.
I would pay big money to see Jason Statham drive around with John Candy.
Jason Statham, though, does not need to lie. Like, you know, Jason Statham his way out of any problems that arise in the transportation of these drugs. It needs to be like Nick Frost.
Right. That's a mild inconvenience for Jason Statham because he has shadow boxing.
I'm just saying it would be fun to see him. He has like some amount of comedy chops, but I agree. If we want to like really lean in to the comedy of it, probably Nick Frost is a better bet.
And, you know, and I think that it needs to be, regardless of whether it's Nick Frost or not, it needs to be kind of one of these like high charisma drug dealer types. Like, they're not the kind of people that are like, you know, I'm going to put a gun in your head in front of you and just kind of like, you know, intimidate you. He's a sweet talker. He's a smooth talker. No, officer, come this way. I think that if you review this, let me just make this phone call. Oh, look, all of a sudden I got to go. See you later. And he's used this for like 15 years. Just this kind of like ability to keep talking until people agree with him to become the drug master of wherever. And all of a sudden it's, do you have any drugs in this vehicle? Why, yes, officer, I have thousands of them. Oh, God.
Okay.
I don't know what triggers it yet. I don't know what the sort of thing that happens to make him compulsively unable to lie is.
I think he's got to steal from someone who throws it at him as a curse. That's what strikes me immediately. Like, he sort of sweet talks some old, sweet old couple out of something very trivial that, like, he doesn't even, you know, really need. He, you know, stiffs them on the bill for dinner or whatever.
That candy bar they were enjoying just looks so good.
Yeah. But, you know, chocolatiers are often also warlocks. This is a fact. and they put a curse on him.
Very cool. Very cool.
But he still, so does he find out that he is cursed before he drives from Texas to Alaska or
not midway before he through? Sets
is
out.
It a yeah, surprise? Definitely not before he sets out.
Okay.
And then
that first checkpoint is a rude awakening.
Gotcha. Right.
He gets far enough that he can't go back.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Does he have like a personal issue that he is also now unable to lie about? Or is this all road trip all the time?
Almost certainly, yes.
For sure. Is it? I guess my question is it family related or friend related? Because it can't be, I mean, it, obviously work related is covered.
Yeah, like the work related, like that
we
is
have the
that...
workplace problem.
Yeah, that's settled. That's not a problem anymore.
Right. Like, is this a man who has a child that he is in contact with?
I like the specification of that he's in contact with, because from everything that we've said about this guy before, it's entirely feasible that he has at least one child somewhere out there that he's washed his hands of.
Right.
Just gone. All right.
Or that's fine, you. Has like a really fast talking phone call with, like, on the third Sunday of every month.
Right. Right. Just sort of that classic, like, have you been that much? Huh? All right. See you next month. Click.
Right. Or like, you know, a sister who he is sending money to and they don't talk about where the money comes from.
Right. Right. It's like put them on. It's like you get 5 minutes. It's like, yep. So how'd you like the Xbox I sent you? Oh, my God. Aren't you excited for the trip we're going to take next year? Oh, yeah. But last year was different. This year's going to be different. And it's just, you know, lies all the way through. And, and so, of course,
lies
like
all the way down
now, this time, which is not a terrible title.
No, not a terrible title.
Which now this time is like he gets on the phone. It's like, so we have no intention of ever seeing each other again. Oh, no.
Right. You know, yeah.
Just, right. Right. Oh, man. This all has to happen in like the Dakota Badlands so that we can take advantage of this incredible name, too.
Absolutely. You're so right. Oh, my God. Yeah. And you know, like, what? Go ahead.
Or no, I was just going to say, like, there's so many things, like his car can break down. You know, there's run-ins with the cops.
The officer comes over to the window, asks for his ID and sees Badlands. Huh? Is that your real name, son? And he's like, so relieved. Like, yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
I can answer truthfully to a policeman.
No, and you know what it is? It's like, you know, ask that. Is that your real name? He's so relieved. Yes. He laughs. He's so relieved. And then, of course, he can't help himself by adding everything else on there is false, though. You know, just like, yeah, that's the only thing that's real. Everything else on there is completely falsified.
Oh, no.
That's great.
Okay. Well, you have about 2 minutes. Does he make it to Alaska?
I mean, physically, yeah. Whether he still has any of his drugs by the time he gets there, I think is a good question.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And you know what? Like the more that I think about it, the more I'm like, on top of everything else, I don't know if it's a politician or something, but he's running for something back home. Like, he wants to be seen as like a member of the community, as a, like, you know, leader in the community. And he's funding this by like running a shit ton of drugs.
Okay.
And I think that maybe he's doing that to get a better life somewhere. Like, it's one of these kinds of like, I want to get like this position here so that I can use that to leverage a position in New York, in LA, in London, so that I can leave all these idiots behind, and who I secretly think are idiots. I say that they're idiots behind closed doors, but, you know, in public, I am very, very polite to them. And that needs to kind of unspool somehow.
Right. He's trying to afford his MBA.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this doesn't sound like a guy who's trying to go to school to get a certificate he can Photoshop.
That's fair.
And hack the database to test positive when people check.
Well, it's a good question about like how smart he is.
Yes.
Because like if he is, again, there's like the Jason Statham version, Master Hacker, and then there's Nick Frost, who can talk his way out of things, but he still needs to buy a fake ID from, you know, the sketchball who's played by, you know, Simon Pegg down the block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a solution to that would be like, oh, sorry, it says that you need this degree for this job. It would be like, let me get like 2 minutes on the phone with this guy and see if we can't waive that for the right person.
Right, right.
And yeah, and I think that like his skill set would, or alternatively, let me get 2 minutes on the phone with him and see if I can't convince him that I 100% do have this degree. It's such a funny story. The reason why it doesn't show up on the Harvard website, which I totally went to, is blah, 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 blah. Yes, thank you very much. I will have the job and 10 days paid vacation starting right now. Thank you. Pleasure doing business with you. Click. But yeah, but like, I think that he's probably very, very sophisticated in that way and a pretty blunt tool in most other departments.
Well, on blunt tool, that is time.
Alas.
I mean, where else would we leave Badlands?
Nowhere else in the world. This was wonderful. Thank you both.
Thank you. What a name.
Jesus, what a story. What a find.
Yeah, please don't fly airplanes full of drugs, everybody. That seems like
so much drugs, too. Like just
so much drugs. Right. So Jesus much drugs.
Christ. Could he carry that much, like, on his person? Like
physically?
I wonder how large a man this is, and if he is a meth addict. I wonder if he's not just like all skin and bones.
No, I mean, you can I'll shoot you guys the article, but you can look at his picture and decide for yourself.
Well, while we're doing that, we're gonna take a short break.
Hello there, Zach Valenti here, jumping into this episode with this brief message. Perhaps you've heard. We are in the home stretch of our Share the Magic campaign for our latest audio fiction series, Unseen. You, yes you, can head on over to share.unseen.show to grab a unique link to recommend our audio fiction program, Unseen, to friends and family and strangers on the internet that you think could use a little more magic in their lives these days. We'll be keeping count of everybody who gets brought to the show through these links, and we'll be rewarding the top three sharers with some exclusive Unseen merch. We were going to stop counting March 31st, but now that the April Fool's special will be coming out on April 20th, we're going to be extending the campaign to April 19th. Winners will be announced in the April Fool's special on 420. So head on over to share.unseen.show to grab your unique link and start sharing today. Thanks so much for helping spread the magic. All right, let's get back to more bad ideas. All right, we're back, and we have our representation looking into licensing Mr. Badland's life rights so that we can get in on the ground floor. But in the meantime,
That's right.
I have another character for you both that I am
excellent,
somewhat mortified to bring you, but in the delighted sort of no bad ideas way.
Okay.
Okay.
From penlive.com, Pennsylvania woman created deep fake videos to force rivals off daughter's cheerleading squad. Police.
This feels like the most inevitable article I have ever heard.
Yeah, no, we were always heading towards this. We just didn't know.
This was the end game.
Police arrested a 50-year-old Bucks County woman March 4th for sending her teen daughter's cheerleading coaches fake photos and videos depicting her rivals naked, drinking, or smoking to try to get them kicked off the squad, according to media reports.
Wow.
Raphael Spohn of Shalfront was charged with two misdemeanors, Hillstown Township police officers said. Spohn is facing three counts of cyber harassment of a child and three counts of harassment. An investigation last year led officers to discover that Spohn had sent harassing text messages directly to the teenagers as well, police said. As the investigation continued, more teenagers came forward who were all part of a traveling cheerleading group, Victory Vipers, Go Vipers, based in the Doylestown area. And there is perhaps the most incriminating looking photo of this lady, which I am sending to you both. As always, link for this article is in the show notes. Spohn last year created the doctored images of at least three members, according to the affidavit. There were no indications that Spohn's daughter knew what her mother was doing. The teenagers told officers Spohn sent them, quote, manipulated images and in an anonymous message said that Spohn, quote, urged them to kill themselves.
Yikes.
Bucks County District Attorney Matt Weintraub told the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hilltown police were contacted by one of the teenager's parents in July, and then two more families came forward with a similar account. They told officers that they and their coaches received text messages that depicted them naked, drinking, and smoking a vape, according to the Philly Inquirer. Some of the teenagers were, quote, sent photos of themselves in bikinis with accompanying texts saying the subjects were, quote, drinking at the shore, court records show. The videos were analyzed and detectives were able to determine they were, quote, deep fakes, defined as digitally altered but realistic looking images created by mapping the girls' social media photos onto other images, the Philly Inquirer reported. Officers were able to execute multiple search warrants that allowed them to trace the text messages back to Spohn's IP address and then her cell phone, police said. George Rattel told the Philly Inquirer he believes the harassment was, quote, triggered after he and his wife told his daughter to stop hanging out with Spohn's daughter due to the concerns over the girl's behavior. Oof. Quote, I don't know what would push her to this point, Rattel said. Quote, as a dad, I was pretty upset about it. It's an image put out there of my daughter that is simply not true. Spohn was released on the condition that she appear at a preliminary hearing March 30th.
Ay.
And with that, I give you both 10 minutes.
You know, it's a real shame that the Darren Aronofsky movie exists, because there's never a story that was deserving of the title Mother exclamation point.
It's that one.
It's this one, yeah.
Indeed.
Oh boy, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want the thing that immediately occurs is to just like go in a Runaways direction. And
like the TV show about the kids who realize that they're the kids of villainous
of supervillains. Yes. Good TV show, very good comics too. And just have like a teenager bring to or have her parents discover that she's like handy with deep fakes and she's doing it for very petty reasons. And the parents are supervillains, obviously. So she is then recruited into their supervillain plans and it becomes like how they bond as a family and stuff.
Wow.
I like it. I can't tell you why, but I kind of think that it flies a little bit better if it's just a single mom, like, you know, single mom, single daughter. They were really, really tight when she was like a little kid. Now,
it's been rough since puberty
lately. Yeah. Haven't really found that much stuff to connect with.
The mom is always gone, you know, so yeah, there's
those
like
long
this
business trips.
Yeah.
Why would an office manager have to travel this much? It's a little unclear.
It's weird. Yeah.
But then, yeah, her mom discovers this and is like, you know, oh, now I can take you to the lair. Don't you mean the office? I said what I said, darling.
I mean, I need the lair. Okay. Yeah.
Why is the kid so good with deepfakes is, I think, like the first question that arises in my mind. Because if she's good enough to capture like a supervillain's attention, then it must
she's
be
very good.
Like good deepfakes.
Yeah. My again, initial gut, we don't have to do this, is that this is clearly a young woman who's been kind of on a roller coaster in terms of her family stability, was probably very sort of introverted and nerdy for a while and like kind of up on the internet, you know, friends through the with people she met online more than friends in school. And like in the past year has sort of decided that, you know, she is going to own this school. She's going to run it. She's done being pushed around. She's going to join the cheerleading team. And if that means kicking five other cheerleaders off the cheerleading team, so fucking be it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So she's maybe been doing this kind of secretly for a while. Like, you know, yeah, that would be funny if, yeah, like her and her mom were both kind of leading these like secret lives
away from each other.
If you wanted a more sympathy inducing backstory, could be that she got into making deep fakes to make family pictures.
Interesting.
That can be like a discovery. I feel like that's a great like kind of end of second act discovery.
Sure.
The first, you know, sort of the first reason is that like she's doing this just kind of as a nerd who enjoys the technology. But at the core of it, she kind of wanted to create a sense of family that she did not get from her mother. I love that.
Now, I don't think that it is like the tweak to the basic premise that I would offer is that it isn't mother discovers this and is then like, oh, amazing. Come with me. We're going to take over the West Coast.
Yeah.
I think that it's much more of like, holy shit, you're evil too. This is such a relief. Oh my God, I can finally be myself around you. And it isn't come do evil supervillain stuff with me. It's I'm now going to help you do all of this like petty little stuff around town and we can finally connect and we can get that fucking girl off the cheerleading team. No fucking problem. Like, you know, I didn't realize that he wanted it that bad. That bitch is gone. And it's all of a sudden kind of like, oh my God, this is amazing. I have so much in common with my mom. This is amazing.
And then
something. Exactly. Yes. And then her mom does something that is like,
that is like really.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and they discover that they have different lines.
Yeah. A cop stops them to give them a parking ticket and her mother just wastes him. And it's kind of like, you know, like she's just like, holy shit. And her mom goes, oh, don't worry. And she's like, oh, is he not dead? Because he looks and she's like, no, he's very dead. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's like, he gets vaporized and she's like so confused. Like, did you just
teleport him?
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Like, where did you make him go? Go? Oh, honey.
Into the ground.
Yeah.
And also the air that we're breathing a little bit. We should maybe move over the.
Yeah, right.
If it makes you feel better, he'll always be with us because you breathe them.
Yeah.
Anyway, ice cream?
Exactly.
And and then all of a sudden the teenage daughter is like, holy shit. No, hang on a second. This is not what I signed up for. And of course, the mother's party line is like, what part of evil did you not get? Like, come on. Like, you know, like. Did you think, like, where did you think this was going?
Yeah.
Right. Live a little.
I mean, where did you think I could afford the house? Not from stealing, you know, people's coin purses.
Have you never asked yourself how much tuition is at your school? Or like those, you know, trips to see your father? And she can be like, wait, is my dad? And her mom can be like, incredibly boring. Why do you think we're not together anymore? Stupid goody two shoes. You can never see things my way.
He got out of the game years ago.
Right.
Yeah. I suppose in this case, it's either about stopping her mother from doing something incredibly evil or about finding like the hero version of herself out there and teaming up to take down the evil supervillains.
No, there 100% is a superhero nemesis to her mother. And I think that at the beginning of the movie, it's like, nobody knows who the Black Venom is, but she's the superhero and she terrorizes this town. Mm-hmm. And Captain Eagle always shows up and stops her. And this is one of these things where everyone, it's been going on for years. Everyone jaded kinda knows. By it.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of knows, like, hey, why are you late? Oh, I fucking, you know, like there was a Black Venom Captain Eagle fight. So, you know, fucking traffic. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, what you gonna
do? Right.
Hazards of living in Coast City or whatever this is.
Yeah.
Then she finds out that her mom is Black Venom. And it's like, holy shit. And then when she realizes like, oh, no, hang on a second. My mom is not fun bad. It's like actually worryingly bad.
Scary bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's the moral quandary of I know who can fix this. But like I would be burninating my relationship with my mother's countryside if I go to talk to Captain Eagle about this.
Also, I imagine it's awkward to approach somebody that you made a string of incriminating deep fakes about that most of the town believed, making them the erstwhile hero.
I like that. That can be like one of the few things that she does to aid her mother in supervillaining. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Right.
Just it sort of creates a PR nightmare for Captain Eagle. Kicking. I love it.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. And like, and that's amazing. Absolutely. And then, you know, part of the problem can be that like Captain Eagle is like really washed out after that. He's just kind of like,
man, social media is really toxic. Jesus.
Yeah.
Fucking 40 years of heroing and just one bad day on Twitter. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Misinformation's a real hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she has to team up with the disgraced Captain Eagle to bring down her mother. I love this.
I really like this. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
I don't know what her mom's evil plan is. And like, you know, there's something.
Yeah, I don't think it
lines up with like some big school event, like the prom.
Or of course.
Or like something,
you know, sort of like the championship football game or something to bring in the cheerleading squad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying to gauge the scale of it because I don't think it's Destroy Coast City or something. Mm-hmm. But maybe it would be something like, you know, some sort of heist that would like bring down a mountain and kind of like destroy the area around Coast City or something that makes Coast City Coast City.
And I'm guessing that like that would be a part of something where I think that probably the ultimate end goal is like United States government. I want you to like, you know, basically like declare Coast City is an independent city state.
Right.
And I am its ultimate ruler. And what the United States government doesn't know is all the uranium that is under Coast City that she found years ago.
That she can now leverage to sell to who the highest bidder, regardless exactly. of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's to create like enough chaos in Coast City that like all federal forces will withdraw from it.
I like that a lot. She can, yeah, exactly.
So she can finally take control of the old uranium refinery that's up in the hill above the school.
That was deemed, quote unquote, too dangerous by a bunch of wet blankets in the 80s. God.
It would have to have been wet blankets in the 90s. The 80s, everything went.
Right. Zach, if we just keep talking, you can never say it.
I'm so curious what this was called. And y'all did a phenomenal job of
the mother of all villains.
Oh, it's called like, Mother of the Year. And yeah, it takes place good. Over that's a school good. Year.
Holy shit.
I really like that.
Image Comics, please call us.
Call us. We're available.
Oh, holy CW, shit.
CW, Supergirl's not going to last forever. You're going to need a new show. You got to be ready, sons.
Yeah.
Call us. We can help.
I like, absolutely love it.
Miranda Otto needs something to do after Sabrina ends. I'm just saying. Over.
She would be tremendous for this.
Well, while we wait for the phone to ring, we'll be back next week with more,
more bad ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.